And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, good evening, friends. This is Jessica French and my co-host Ashley Winters. Are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Trying to stay cool out there.
I know, it's blazing hot. I almost died walking across the street. tonight we have our former ROV, Miss Kathy Darlene Allen. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Good to hear your voice, Ashley.
Oh, thank you. We're so excited to have you here tonight. We're going to be talking about all things elections and how the extremist platform has affected elections and how it has affected you personally, Kathy. And we're happy to provide that platform to hear your voice, and hopefully lots of others will listen and pay attention. And so let's just get into it. First, I just wanted to talk about how you got started with the elections office. What is your history? How long have you been working for the office and all of that, if you could share with us?
Sure. And I have to say, excuse my voice. I'm getting over a cold. And Sunday I had no voice, so I'm thrilled to at least be able to talk at all today.
Me too.
It would have been really difficult to
do
this in a whisper. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and when you grow up in D.C., your hometown paper is the Washington Post, and what's happening in the White House is your hometown news. Mm. So I grew up with kind of a maybe higher than normal political awareness. My mom was also really involved in local politics. She worked on a lot of school board campaigns. And so I had just a kind of innate interest in politics generally growing up. And then when I moved here to Reading, I got a job working for the county at the welfare department, and had quite a bit of private industry experience prior to that in hotels while I was in college in Santa Barbara. And when the assistant county clerk decided to retire in 2003, I applied for that job. And then very shortly after that, the county clerk and registrar had a series of things that I think she had planned to retire fairly soon after the assistant, but I think it all got accelerated because of some personal stuff that happened for her. Her father passed away. She had a lot more responsibility taking care of her mom and stuff like that. So she ended up retiring in 2004, and I was appointed in the middle of her term in September of 2004, also a presidential year. So here we are.
How many years is that?
So I served as county clerk for just under 20.
Wow.
It would have been 20 years in September, but unfortunately I didn't quite make it to that. But I did make it to 20 years in the office,
good.
Which I celebrated last June.
That is a lot of years of experience.
It is. And it's interesting that you say that.
Yeah.
Years of experience don't seem to hold a lot of weight with these folks who hold these extreme
not lately
views, right?
Uh-oh, your sound is a little bit low, Ash.
Oh, no problem.
I'm not sure
if that's... Is that better?
Oh, yeah, there we go.
There she is.
Yeah, unfortunately, because... Can you just share with us a little bit about what it looked like gaining that experience?
Sure.
I mean, try and paint the picture for the average person that knows nothing about what goes on in that elections office. What is it like gaining 20 years of experience?
So I think the thing that's most interesting is kind of the before and after, how things have changed so dramatically over the last 5 or so years. When I started, nobody knew who I was ever. I would go out in public anywhere in town, and no one would know who I was, even to political events sometimes. You know, other elected department heads I would see wearing name tags, and they were always running for office kind of a thing, and I just never did that. I never felt compelled to do that. And I was always very conscious of having to stay neutral and not take a side on any local political issue, because that's the job of the referee, like in T-ball or the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have a favorite. You don't have a side at work. Obviously, we're all allowed to have personal opinions, but I was really concerned about not getting involved in local politics on the ground, because I had to count votes on the issues all the time, right? So
right.
I just was very
ethical.
my understanding.
I mean,
California is
a ethical way to be,
right? So California is unique in some ways regarding who controls elections. There are other states. Mississippi is a great example. The head of the elections committee is a Dem and a rep, and the door to the office literally has two deadbolts, and they each have their own key. And if they're not both present, you're not getting into the election department.
Wow, that's interesting.
So the parties really run the show
yeah.
as far as elections are concerned, especially for primaries,
mm-hmm.
Presidential primaries especially, in many states. And in California, election officials are nonpartisan. As I said, we all have our own personal preferences and party registrations, but it's really, I think, as usual, California leads the way.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I think it's incredibly important and the right way to go to have election officials be nonpartisan and not be political. One of my favorite sayings is election administration is a profession. It's not political. And what's happened over the last 5 or 6 years is that it has been radicalized and weaponized and made to be a political animal when the process of running elections should not be political
right.
at all.
And a lot of the governmental positions also, for example, the Board of Supervisors, they're supposed to be nonpartisan positions
as
well.
They are nonpartisan
yeah,
positions. Whether the folks in those chairs are acting in a nonpartisan
right.
manner or not
right.
is a whole different discussion.
Right.
But those, I want to just...
I appreciate that because
it's such a hard thing
yeah.
for us right now because
yeah.
we're in this season of hyper partisanship
yeah.
at the local level. That's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not appropriate at the school board level
right.
either.
Because how else do you serve? How do you serve all people when you're bringing partisanship to a position? It's impossible. And we hear some elected officials actually speaking to that all the time. I remember just in this past election. There was a, now I need to, I wasn't thinking about talking about this, so I don't remember who it was, but there was a commercial for a candidate, and they said they were here to serve all conservatives, and I just thought, you know, as a non-conservative myself, I'm a liberal, and I'm happy to be a progressive person, that hurt my heart. You know, I'm like, what about me? What about my family? You know, certainly I don't live in Shasta County thinking that I'm going to be represented totally, but I do expect for there not to be a commercial blatantly saying that we're only going to care about these values. So
it's really interesting that there's a certain group of folks who are very excited about and upset about the fact that they don't feel represented in Sacramento, and yet they are perpetrating the exact same thing here locally
right.
and not representing every Shasta County resident.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's wrong. If we had a representative board, we wouldn't have 5 Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
But we do, and the districts are drawn fairly. I don't believe we have any problem with district lines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we have any problem with the way elections are conducted in our county, obviously. But I do think that we have some elected politicians who just are on the wrong track
mm-hmm.
as far as that is concerned, and they're not worried. And the thing that I always worry about, of course, is representing the least of us, right? I'm always worried about how do we make sure we fold in our marginalized community into the elections process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can't even... Like last year, right, we didn't get a pride declaration from the board, a resolution from the Board of Supervisors. I don't even know if they attempted to get one this year.
They did not, and they said, I asked about that for, I asked an organization if they were going to attempt, and they said not this year. And I asked one of the board members if they were going to bring it up themselves, and that person told me I would have to think long and hard about that.
Anyway,
and
So hopefully, after January, when we have some new folks sworn in, we will have a board that more accurately reflects the entire composition of the county, even though we're still talking about 5 Republicans.
Yeah.
I'm golden, right? I have no problem with what your political party registration is if you're going to represent your whole district.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody, like you said, when somebody says, I'm here for X, Y, or Z only,
mm-hmm.
that makes me really concerned
yeah.
that they're leaving folks behind.
It
and
does.
That's totally inappropriate in a government setting. You want to do that in a private life, go for it.
Right.
But when you're paid by the people and representing all the people,
Okay.
I think that it's just that it's also noteworthy that this particular board, by being so one-sided, has pushed their own people away by being so outwardly one-sided, and by, as you know, for a nonpartisan board, they sure have selected a side.
Yeah,
maybe have gone so
sure.
far that they can't turn back now, because it will reflect even worse upon them.
Yeah. Okay, well, we do have to take a break real quick, so let's take a break, and when we get back, we'll dive a little bit deeper into this mess. Thank you.
You can drive all night looking for the answers.
Hey, Reading, take an inflation vacation with Black Bear Diner's 7 new weekday dinner deals, starting at just $9.99. Tasty fish tacos, creamy fettuccine carbonara, steak and fries, a crispy chicken dinner, beef stroganoff, and more. Serve Monday through Friday after 4 p.m. Escape inflation's grip on your wallet and set the table tonight with good old-fashioned family food at your friendly Black Bear Diner in Reading on Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator, exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
Are you coming to the tree? They strung up a man, they say the world is free. Strange things have happened to you, strange world is free. You never come in, I did not hang.
We are back with former Shasta County ROV Kathy Darlene Allen. Hello again.
Hi.
We're live on KCNR 96.5 FM. Our lines are open if you'd like to call in and talk to Kathy. The number is 530-605-4567. Also, I want to give a shout out to our 48 sponsors of the show. You know who you are. 48 individuals gave small amounts of money to make this show possible, and we are very grateful. We also want to thank Linda and Carl Bott for giving a different perspective a chance, as well as Epoch Media for their help and support during this fun new endeavor. So let's get back to it and dive into this a little bit further. At what point was it that you decided, or you didn't decide, at what point did you realize that things had gone really south here locally?
I think we saw some warning signs in 2016 prior to the November election being conducted, right, at the federal level, when the former president said that if I don't win, it's rigged.
Right.
And that kind of trickled down, but we didn't. I think the thing that was really the most shocking to me is probably something that most people didn't clue into or weren't aware of. You know, the board swore in new members in 23 that had been elected in November of 22. And I guess I should also say, you know, we had the June of 22 election when some of the board members had sponsored this whole group of people to run for office, and none of them were successful in that primary election. And there still is talk about how that election wasn't conducted fairly, and I counted my own votes, and so obviously there was cheating, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then in November, when there are two candidates, one for supervisor, crickets. No objections.
Right.
Nothing's wrong with this election.
Right.
When Leonard Modi got recalled, crickets. Nothing's wrong with this election.
Right.
And this trend, which, has, again, started at the federal level and has rolled right down into our labs here in Shasta County, that if I don't like the results, then I'm going to cry foul on the process. But if I do like the results, I'm going to not be consistent, not bring those issues to the table. It is really profoundly un-American.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of these folks who call themselves patriots,
right.
To not support the peaceful transition of power, not support the process that the founders put in place in the Constitution,
right.
249 years ago, right? So what is going on?
Right.
This doesn't feel, it's not in good faith.
Yeah.
Right? They're not acting in good faith, and that's what's been really tough. Here locally, though, we had those two new supervisors elected in 22 in November. They got sworn in January of 23, and then on January 24th of 23, they voted to cancel the Dominion contract had with the county. And without any plan going forward, they didn't come to that dais, they didn't make that motion and talk about how they were going to continue to serve the voters of Shasta County. Not that any of them know how to do that now either.
Right.
They didn't then, and they don't now. And that's not their job. Their job is to manage the budget of the county. Their job is to hire and fire, I think, two people, the CAO and county council. Those are the two employees they get to direct. It's a really challenging thing. But later, in February, at this point, we were still, I think, really doing this push-pull with the board and my department about who was going to make the decisions about how to go forward.
Right.
And the board absolutely has the authority under the law to pick a voting system. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. That's not even something I would ever argue about.
Right.
So we had come to the board with an item that meeting, and the board chair at the time, Patrick Jones, did not like our item and tried to pull it off the agenda completely.
What was the item?
It had to do with the hand count and a commission that would help supervise development of a hand count process. And I have always known, even at the welfare department when I was producing staff reports from the managers in that department to present to the board, the items that go before the board belong to the departments. They don't belong to the board. They don't belong to the board chair. And County Council pushed back pretty hard at the time, Ruben Cruz. Thank you, Ruben. And that item stayed on the agenda. But they added another item, which failed, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very authoritarian in nature, and what it said was, this chair and all future chairs can pull any item they want off any board agenda they want, forever and ever, amen.
Yeah.
This is not a way to run county government.
No.
And like I say, I was very grateful. Kevin Cry voted against that item, which tanked it. Thank you, Kevin, for that vote. That was a really well-considered vote. But that was Patrick's attempt to take over control.
Right.
100% of that office.
And that personally, as a citizen just looking in to the situation, that was really the point for me, too, when I thought, what is going on here? When they voted to do away with our elections counting system without having a plan in place, and Kevin Cry being a new council, a new
board member,
how egotistical to come into a new position not knowing anything about how to run government, county government, and make such a decision with no thought process behind it, and then to say, we don't need a plan. Sometimes you just need to go for it. I remember him saying, sometimes you just have to take risks. And it's like, maybe in private business, yeah, as an entrepreneur, but not in county government where your entire county is depending on you for their,
you're allowed to take your own livelihood into your own hands and risk it, but you're not allowed to take the franchise of the vote of 188,000 people and play with it.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like. Happening.
And that's how it felt to me, too, from the outside looking in. And then they say that, because I asked the question, why? What is the point, you know? Because we haven't had, there was no discrepancy talked about our elections here locally. And we're supposed to be supporting our local government, not nationwide government. And often the response was that we were trying to satisfy the wonder of people. Some people weren't trusting the process, and that we needed, it was your responsibility to build trust with those people. And my question is, do you think that it was your personal responsibility or the responsibility of the elections office to address the mistrust that was held by a small percentage of individuals who believed that voter integrity was compromised because of misinformation? Do you feel like that was your responsibility?
So I've been asked this question a lot by Patrick particularly.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do to rebuild trust? I'm not the one who broke trust.
Right.
And quite frankly, election officials across the country have been asked that question by reporters repeatedly. And my new answer is, at the end of the day, what you're doing is asking a crime victim what they're going to do to reduce crime on the streets. You're not asking the police department, you're not asking law enforcement or any other peace officer that question. You're asking the victim of the crime.
Right.
Election officials across the country, I have colleagues, and especially in battleground states, who still have police protection at home 4 years later after 2020.
Yeah.
Even though all of these really high-dollar, federally produced 2,000 or 20,000 mules, 2,000 mules, whatever it is, that has been completely debunked and now abandoned by some of the folks who paid to make it.
Right.
There are all kinds of really well-organized messaging mm-hmm. that are just lies.
Right.
And they have been debunked in the last 4 years, and yet people still, I think, was it Mark Twain? It's easier to convince people that they've been, to fool people than to convince them they've been fooled. Maybe not Mark Twain, sorry.
Because it's somebody an ego Googled thing again. Then you have to admit that you didn't use your critical thinking skills and you were too little-brained, you know. You didn't look into it further. You were duped. So instead of admitting that,
you were bamboozled by a swindler.
Right, which is a whole other topic of conversation. How does that even occur? How does the average person trust? Oh, gosh. Okay, we're not even going to get into that.
So I have to say, I try and speak really carefully about this issue because really good, Liz Cheney said it just a couple of weeks ago really well. Hardworking, patriotic people have been taken in by these con men and grifters, and it is a shame.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I never in my life thought I would be quoting Liz Cheney or Dick Cheney when he told her daughter, defend the republic,
right?
The institution must hold. I quote her and him quite often now because even though we don't share a lot of political beliefs, we both love this country.
Right.
And I think that's the part that is so frustrating, is that folks who call themselves patriots and yet want to burn it all down in the same breath, that I don't understand.
I don't understand that either. And
it's because grifting has become a fundraising model for politicians who have bad stances but still want to be elected, and there are people who support that no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's where the trust breaks down, because as soon as you try to rebuild that, they move the goalpost.
Well, and that's absolutely true, Ashley. The goalpost moving has happened to us in the election department last year. We spent hundreds and maybe thousands of staff hours preparing a hand count program, as we were directed to do by the board. They never accepted what we provided to them. They never, I don't believe they even read it, honestly. And maybe one or two of them did, I don't know. But the comments.
So you proved that whenever you went back to the board and there was an exchange between you and Patrick where he was denying that you gave him information, and then you cited three different instances where the information was provided to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was par for the course, I think, with that. But when we come back, I want to talk about how this has affected you personally, because I really want people to, our whole goal here with this show is to expose extremism in our community. We want to end the extremism. We would like people to wake up and realize how dangerous it really is for not only our community, but for America as a whole. And we'd like to get back together. So let's talk about how it personally affected you when we return.
At KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
A Father's Day tradition returns to Benton Field Airport Sunday, June 16th. It's the local EAA Chapter's Aviation Day from 7 to 2. Start your day with breakfast from 7 to 11. Served by the Mount Shasta Chapter of 99s. $8 for adults, $5 for 5 to 12. Kids under 5 free. Airplane and helicopter flights will be available. Admission and parking are free. Come see aircraft of all kinds on display. Bring Dad and the whole family to Benton Field on Father's Day.
Cascade Curations in downtown Reading is a unique destination location. Cascade Curations is a vibrant hub celebrating the creativity and talent of local artists, musicians, and designers. Clothing racks are stocked with upcycled and upscale thrift, as well as new clothing unlike anywhere else. Whether you're seeking beautiful artwork to adorn your home, new music to inspire you, or musical instruments and gear to play, Cascade Curations is a must-visit spot to immerse yourself in Reading's thriving arts and culture scene, located in the Foundry Square next to the Dip.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be, let it be.
We are back with former Shasta County ROV Kathy Darlene Allen. Welcome back. We are live on KCNR 96.5 FM. Our lines are open if you'd like to call in and talk with Kathy and ask any questions. The number is 530-605-4567. And let's get back into it. So when we left, I said I wanted to talk about how this has personally affected you. So I don't know that much of the community knows what happened with your health, and you said you were willing to share about that tonight. So
sure.
Would you like to tell us?
So I got in October, I got a virus of last year, got a cold, basically, right? Took a couple of COVID tests at home. Those were negative. And I have asthma, usually just allergy, seasonal related. And so I started to feel like my asthma meds were not working. I started to feel kind of short of breath. And so I went to my primary care doctor, and over the next couple of the 5 weeks or so, it just got worse and worse and never got better. And so I ended up in the ER in the weekend after Thanksgiving. And I have another virus again. Yay. Not so yay. I didn't know why my asthma meds weren't working. It turns out they were working fine. I had a heart failure. And so that, you know, when your heart isn't working correctly, it's really difficult to get rid of fluids in your body.
Is the heart failure reversible? So, what is the prognosis? Can we know?
Sorry. Of course my voice is out right now. I don't know yet. I was at UC Davis yesterday for a two-hour MRI. I do not recommend being in a tube for 2 hours. That was not pretty fun. I've had an angiogram. I've had multiple sonograms and chest x-rays and CTs and lots of blood work. And everything looks really good.
Yeah.
Except my heart's not pumping correctly.
Yeah.
So I don't have any blockages in my arteries. I don't have high blood pressure. I'm on a whole cocktail of meds. So when I don't sound like this, I usually feel pretty good. I'm going to end up, I think, in the not too distant future with a pacemaker / defibrillator implant.
Yeah.
I got referred down to UC Davis. They have a heart failure specialist team down there, so I'm working with them and my cardiologist here.
What did your doctors tell you about your job? I'm sure
The first conversation I had with a local cardiologist was that we have a four-pronged attack to deal with heart failure. We need to look at your meds, make sure we have your med cocktail lined out, exercise, diet, and stress reduction. And, you know, I never in my 20s would have considered myself a workaholic, but this job has become a passion for me and is all-consuming. My family can tell you all about that.
Can you tell us about that? What does that mean?
So that means that basically if I'm on social media, if I'm sitting at home on my couch scrolling on my phone, I'm reading election articles, I'm visiting pages of my fellow election officials from around the country, checking to see what's happening in Michigan with my friend in Ottawa County, or checking to see what's happening in you know, in other areas. And I love the work that we do. Right. I love going to see other election departments, going into a physical building in another, even just another county in California. It's so interesting to see how they do what they do. I am not alone. I'm not particularly unique in the field. If you go to a conference of election officials,
right. You
will be sitting in the bar talking about work, not about our families, and we'll talk about our families too, of course, and our hobbies and all the other things you talk to your friends about. But the thing that we are all, it is an amazing phenomenon that people love this work the way that they do. And it's part of the reason I think that you're seeing this giant pushback against what's happening around the country, which is the kind of abuse and harassment and intimidation, and in some cases death threats being made against election officials based on lies.
Right.
I think it's really important to always say that these actions that people are taking have nothing to do with actual events, an election being stolen or an election being rigged. That is not true.
Did you have threats made against you here?
No, I have not had a direct threat made against me. And as far as I know, no one else in the office has either. Mm-hmm. And I always answer this question with yet.
Yeah.
Because it just feels inevitable based on what's happening in other parts of the country.
So what have you experienced as far as extreme responses go in the office?
I've been followed to my car before. There's video of the actions of folks in the office in June of 22. Mm-hmm. I'm sure folks are you can go find it on a news cafe.
Videos, yeah.
Dottie took a lot of video that night and posted a lot of it too. And, you know, just the general lack of common decency and respect in board meetings. I have never been treated the way, in a professional setting, the way I was in board meetings in the last couple of years. David Kehoe must be appalled at the level of decorum or the lack of decorum, not only from the folks on the dais, but also in the audience. And, you know, the fact that it's being allowed in the audience. You know, there are times when our board chair, both last year and this year, should have stopped people from doing what they were doing, and they haven't, and they didn't. And that's what our whole criminal justice system is based on, right? Deterrence. When you do something bad, you get in trouble.
Right.
And if there's never a consequence for bad behavior, you know, we have the same 25 people that go to that board meeting every couple of weeks and behave badly.
Right.
Because they're allowed to.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a common thread, it seems, with our guests that we've spoken to, and also messages we've received from the public or and people that work in the county, is that just the general level of lack of respect and a workplace.
It's everyone who is up at that dais that works for the county is at work, and they are being harassed, they are being intimidated, and they are being treated really poorly. And that is not acceptable. For me, as a boss, it was never acceptable for me.
Yeah, and my question was, it should have been not acceptable by law. And I'm not a lawyer, but I asked other people the same question. I'm not a lawyer, but it seems like there should have to be a certain amount of respect to people, employees in general. Okay, we have a caller. Nick is on the line. Nick, hi, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you for asking.
Thanks for calling in tonight. What did you have tonight?
Well, I take exception to a few things you said. For one thing, 2,000 mules has not been totally debunked. I just looked it up, and here's an example of what they're calling debunking.
Okay.
Philadelphia State Senator Cherise Street, who was there for the group's testimony in March, told the AP he was confident. He was counted several times at the group's of the group's 1,155 anonymous mules, even though he didn't deposit anything into a drop box at that time of period. He's assuming he was counted, and this article is calling that proof. That's not proof. All of the debunking is assumptions, from what I can see.
Okay.
You were just talking about the decorum at the meetings. I was at the meeting.
Well, you want to talk about 2,000 mules a little bit?
No.
Oh, you just want to give us your facts? Okay.
Yeah, that's my fact. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I haven't seen any proof that it's debunked. I see claims.
Well, wasn't there a lawsuit against them, and didn't they win?
Not that I'm aware of.
There was. There was a lawsuit against against the production company for, what's it called when you lie about people?
Defamation.
And they won, and they had to remove it from being bought.
How many people
that
were the same?
That might have been the book.
What was that? I didn't hear you. Sorry.
I said, how many people were defamed? Was there just one or two or so?
This was a lawsuit with one particular person.
Okay, so the whole film is debunked because one person was defamed. I'm not buying that as a logical argument. I'd like to move on about the decorum at the meetings
okay.
today.
Sure. The decorum today?
Yes.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
You're saying that people are being disrespectful. They're even using some profanity. And today there was 34 comments that didn't make anything that has to do with the county. It was all attacks against Kevin Cry, Patrick Jones, Chris Kelstrom. And it is complete 100% the recall people. The people that didn't support the recall have been acted very gentlemanly, and they haven't used profanity. It's a one-sided deal. And I wonder what you expect Chair Cry to do when somebody gets up there. They have a right to speak. It's their First Amendment right. What do you want them to do? Just kick them out of there? You can't have them arrested. What's your plan?
Personally, I think that he should listen and let them go on their way and be done with it. Because, like you said, it's their First Amendment right. So, you know, but no, he doesn't just sit there because he interrupts. He changes the subject.
He tries to keep them on track.
I've personally gone up there to speak, and there's three instances where I've spoken, And I don't know if you've ever heard me speak, but I'm always very calm and considerate. And I talk about personal experience. And each time, he has stopped me in the middle of my sentence and took me on a different tangent, and my train of thought is gone, and I can't remember even what I was going to say or how I was going to say it, and it's distracted me, and that's difficult. And I'm a calm, rational person 99% of the time. So, you know, I think...
What I experienced there is, say you're talking about R7 as a subject, and people get up there and talk about something that doesn't have anything to do with R7, and he makes comments, R7, he's trying to direct...
Yeah, I heard the commenter that you're talking about today.
Okay, and besides that, well, I just wanted to defend them. It's just one group that's causing all the chaos at the meeting.
That is not true, Nick, and you know
it. Yes, it is.
Absolutely. And, I didn't hear today's meeting, so I'm not commenting about today's meeting. In all fairness, but the idea that one side is behaving badly and everybody else is great is not true. And you know it's not true, Nick.
Oh, I absolutely do know it's true. Maybe once in a while we do snipe back because we get sick and tired of it.
I mean, I do understand how it can feel that way after a meeting like today, where it was pretty volatile on the side of the Board of Supervisors and public speakers. But there has to be a higher standard held to elected officials. And they should, if you're going to be a good leader, you probably should just listen to the person that's ranting, let them finish and move on with the day, instead of acting like a bully and trying to intimidate people and cutting them off and that kind of behavior. And I understand also wanting to defend them. I do. I appreciate your wanting to defend them.
Well, you know, Dolores Lucero, and she gets up there and she's going to have them thrown into prison. She's going to have them sued. They're being accused of all kinds of things that aren't happening. You can only torment somebody so long until they start biting back.
Yeah, I think Kathy understands that.
Well, Kathy, you know, I wasn't around the elections department, and two times I've gone over there, and I asked you a question, and you were completely polite and answered my question. And I went over there to ask Joanna a question, and it was the same thing. I've got nothing bad to say about either one of you, but it seems like there's just a core group of four or five people that are causing all the chaos over at the Elections Department.
Well, I'd like to talk to you about this more at length another time. We have to go to break, but really thank you for calling in and having a rational conversation with us. I do appreciate it, and you have a good night, Nick.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right. On that note, we're going to go to break, and we'll be back.
You can beat them forever and ever. Oh, we can be heroes just for one day.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops have come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hello, we are back with former Shasta County ROV Kathy Darlene Allen. We're closing in on our time so fast, so we're going to be quick, Kathy.
I just wanted to add one thing quickly about the public comment. It's absolutely the case that we want to give folks our First Amendment right, but when people get up and say stuff that is really abhorrent and outside of social norms, as we've had happen in the last couple of years, the board chair has the authority and the discretion to say, I disavow what you just said. That's not okay. We don't talk like that. I mean, it sounds like you're talking to a toddler, but sometimes folks are not, you know, behaving their adult selves.
Right, and also reminding them of the facts of the matter and what and the evidence that we have for our elections office and the fact that we do have free, fair, accurate information or accurate elections here in Shasta County, and stopping the misinformation being spread. That's how we're going to stop extremism here.
Yeah.
And if we don't have leadership that's stopping it, then we're going to continue down this rabbit hole. But I did want to get back to your health, because I do feel like it's important for people to know about that, and we kind of got distracted. So can you go back to your health?
Sure.
And how this has impacted your career?
Well, it just has kind of stopped my whole life on a dime. Joanna came to the hospital when I was in the hospital on Monday after Thanksgiving and said, okay, give me your work phone, you know, just really stepped up in a way that is amazing and admirable. But at the end of the day, I have lost I've lost years I had coming to work and going into my pension. I've lost my job. I've lost quite a lot. The community has been amazing. I have gotten so many cards and flowers and cookies.
Glad to hear that.
And T-shirts and just so much support from folks. I appreciate it so
much. Because the truth is, you are supported. I mean, I always get the numbers wrong, so tell me, what was the percentage that you were elected?
68%.
That's a huge amount of people. Why are we not defending those 68% of people that voted for you and trust you?
Well, and that's just it. Right? Yeah. The 68% of the people who voted for me would also vote for Joanna.
Right.
And that's why I've been supporting her so strongly and so vocally. Joanna Franciscat is the candidate for this job.
Right.
And the idea that someone else can come in and take a fresh look at things is a really insufficient choice to make this close to a presidential general election, number one. And number two, I sincerely believe that if someone else is chosen and that department fails in November, the supervisors who voted that way will not win re-election. The voters will make them pay and remember that decision that they made.
And it's that would be a very immature leadership decision. Very immature. So If we know anything about the people that are on the board, they don't want to be immature leaders. So let's hope that they make the right decision and they make the right decision and appoint Joanna. But we do have another caller, Jenny. Hi. Hello, Jenny.
Hi.
Sorry for making you wait so long. We were on a topic.
Oh, that is just fine. You have important things to say.
Thanks for calling in. What'd you have to say?
So, Kathy is an important person to be on the show. And the reason behind it, not just because I love her because of her, you know, quilting and knitting and beautiful things, but we're all Kathy. And I know that's a funny thing to say, but the number one thing about extremism is the tactic of dehumanization. The tactic of this person is worth less.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as they are worth less, it is easy to attack, to make them miserable. And Kathy is one example of what happens when you see it go all the way.
Right.
A good thing to think about is like the night Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass in Germany, is where we really see the turnaround in Nazi Germany, where we really see that Jews no longer are human beings.
Right.
And in this county, we're seeing things like that. When we see people abuse Kathy Darling until she is out of office because of physical health being affected.
Right.
Yeah. And Jenny, I think it was intentional. I think that was the goal.
Right.
Right.
And like,
and thank you, Jenny.
Like you said earlier, about what was the words you used, inaccuracies for things that have been proven to be not true.
Yeah, everything's been. There's so many of these conspiracy theories have been debunked.
Right.
And I really wish that Nick would spend some more time at our election department in our county.
Right.
Instead of being consumed with information that he's listening to about Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, go spend a day in the election department here so you know what's happening locally.
Right.
But Jenny, thank you for what you said. I had a woman come into the office who was in Munich in 1941 when she was 6 years old, and she told me a story about, you know, this is how authoritarianism, this is how fascism happens. And it really rocked me when she told me that story. And I just think you're exactly correct that we have to be vigilant about fighting back against extremism and making sure that all voices are heard and considered. It's really, really important.
And you were talking about inaccuracies, which is also a Nazi platform. It literally Goebbels, it's the original
misinformation,
the Minister of Propaganda.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
The Ministry of Propaganda, who literally said, repeat the lie until it's truth.
Right, and here we are.
Because he had an understanding that if you hear something enough, if something is presented enough times, it becomes true to the listener because it's ingrained, right? It's inside.
Yeah,
and we've seen the guy from 2000 Mules has not only been sued, but has come out as saying this was false information.
Mm-hmm. And but to be clear, there is a guy. There's the main guy has not done that, but the production company, I think it is, has done.
Yeah,
and the production companies come out said this is false information.
Right.
We have produced false information, but it is so ingrained that you can't just walk up and go, "Hey, you saw that, right?" Because it's inside. Like, it's inside of people's hearts and minds, and it's become a part of who they are, and you can't just take that out of them with a simple statement.
No.
It's consistent.
Right. No,
right?
And it's internalized. You're totally right about that, Jenny. And that's why I said earlier that I try and be really careful about how we talk about this stuff, because I want our country to come back together again. I want our community to come back together again. I don't want to sit in a room with just three other people talking about how, everybody's crazy and everybody believes all this stuff that's not true. That doesn't help us, right? Mm-hmm. I think you're on the right path, Jenny. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.
We can't let ourselves be humanized.
Yeah. Thank you, Jenny.
We cannot.
We appreciate you calling in tonight. Mm-hmm. We have only one more minute, so we're going to go ahead and let you go. And I think we're going to need to have you on the show again, Kathy, because this was not enough time.
Be happy to.
But the theme of this conversation is extremism is affecting our democracy majorly. When it's attacking our local election department, the very basis of America, our voting rights, our...
The franchise is the basis upon which all other rights are based.
There you go.
And so it is incredibly important that elections be conducted in a free, fair, accessible, transparent manner, like they have been for decades, long prior to my tenure.
Yes. And we have 30 seconds, so I'm going to say that there's a whole other conversation to be had about the way that the recruitment is going. I say that with air quotes for this new position, and I really hope that in the end, Joanna is selected for the position because she is going to be the one that is she's been here the longest. She knows our system, and she knows that office.
When they do those public interviews, it is going to be very clear. The cream will rise to the top.
Yeah.
And she will be the person who can answer every single question without even thinking.
Thank you for coming tonight, Kathy. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.